KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We are here every Monday night, unless the building is closed, and then we can't really come, but we try, but they, you know, get mad, so we leave. And...
Yeah, y'all like the graduate, like, banging on the doors.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes.
The entire thing just ends up awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So, you know, we try to avoid the awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Save it for the show.
Unless it's funny.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
Then we spread it on
then,
thick.
Yeah. Then it's totally planned. Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
All right. So we've got a good show for you tonight.
Heck
I know
yeah.
I say that every week, but I think so far it's been on point.
This time we actually mean it.
Every week, it's been true so far.
Yeah,
I mean,
so far. What could possibly go wrong?
Seriously. I mean.
Especially when it comes to new releases.
Woo!
All right, let's get right into them. So I'm going to give you some movies coming out this week in the theater. Now, you know, nothing gigantic, but this one movie in particular does star the supposedly future Deadshot and future Harley Quinn.
Ooh.
So,
oh, okay.
If you want to maybe get a sample of the two of them together,
it's a combo.
This might be it. Unless things totally change, because that's the comic book world of movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie is called Focus. It stars Nikki, who is played by Will Smith. He's a seasoned master of misdirection who becomes Ooh. Romantically involved with novice con artist Jess, played by Margot Robbie. As he's teaching her the tricks of the trade, she gets too close for comfort, and he abruptly breaks it off. 3 years later, the former flame, now an accomplished femme fatale, shows up in Buenos Aires in the middle of the high-stakes race car circuit.
Tricky.
Crazy stuff, obviously, is going to go down.
Mm.
If you're not interested in that, maybe you're interested in the Lazarus effect. Frank and his fiancée Zoe have achieved the unimaginable, bringing the dead back to life.
It's alive! Alive!
Just like that. After a successful yet unsanctioned trial on a newly deceased animal, the team is ready to unveil their breakthrough to the world. When the dean of their university learns of their underground experiments, their project is unexpectedly shut down and their materials confiscated.
Whoa, who saw that one coming?
I know.
Deans.
Mm-hmm. Straight out of an 80s college movie or something.
Serious.
Right.
Frank, Zoe, and their team take matters into their own hands, launching a rogue attempt to recreate their experiment, during which things go terribly wrong, and one of their own, Zoe, is horrifically killed. And if that doesn't interest you, the last but certainly not least is Little Boy. A 7-year-old boy is willing to do whatever it takes to bring his father back from World War II.
Whoa.
Deep.
Mm-hmm.
So if the movies on the big screen aren't quite doing it for you, maybe you'll consider some for the small screen. Well, they're getting pretty big these days, so, but home theater, let's put it that way. Mm. Big Hero 6 is out on Blu-ray and DVD. Young Hiro Hamada is a budding genius and roboticist. His brother, Tadashi, is also a genius and urges Hiro to apply his mind to make things better. When Tadashi is tragically taken from this world, Hiro must find a way to deal with his grief and fight off the sudden appearance of a supervillain? Well, the plot is not the most impressive, but where it shines is its animation and its characterizations. Those were par excellence.
perfect timing too. I believe it just won the Academy Award. So
good on you, Big Hero 6, and good on you, Disney Animation. Let's see. In a different realm of filmmaking is Code Black on DVD. It's an intense documentary about a group of young doctors in Los Angeles County Hospital's ER. It's the busiest ER in the nation. It's told in striking honesty how the balance of ideals and reality can be as hard as the fight to save a life. Then there's Horrible Bosses 2 on Blu-ray and DVD. In the follow-up to their 2011 film, the trio Nick, Dale, and Kurt have decided that they've had enough of Horrible Bosses, and they're going to strike out on their own. While it all starts well, they find themselves at the mercy of an unscrupulous venture capitalist and must find their way to reclaim their company back for themselves. And to round it out is Sons of Anarchy, The Final Season on Blu-ray and DVD, the conclusion of the acclaimed series Betrayal, Murder, Loyalty, and Love. The mind of Jax Teller must balance all of these while still leading his gang. Oh, I forgot I had one more. Whiplash. Blu-ray and DVD. Andrew is a brilliant and up-and-coming jazz drummer. His skills and passion push him to be to the highest levels of excellence. This catches the notice of one of the greatest jazz teachers of his time, and the pursuit of perfection is a path of torment that will test both Andrew and his teacher.
Dang.
Another good timing one. J.K. Mm-hmm. Simmons won the Academy Award for that.
Yep.
Well, no Academy Awards here, but in the realm of video games, we have Dragon Ball Xenoverse coming out on February 24th on PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC. It is also from the creators of the Budokai Dragon Ball Z series, so if you've been a big fan of that, I'm sure you're probably going to be happy with this, although this is going to have a little bit different shift in design and gameplay.
Kakarot!
Sorry.
No,
it's perfectly apropos.
No Kakarot!
Right, that's the shift.
That'd be quite the shift.
Meanwhile, in something that probably didn't shift all that much, Dynasty Warriors comes out in its 8th incarnation, Empires. Also on February 24th, coming out for PS3, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. No Xbox 360, that kind of surprised me.
Hmm.
And probably couldn't figure out how to cram more things on the screen on the 360.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sure that was the unit limit on the field is their major problem.
Yeah. And to round out the end of the video game list, Resident Evil Revelations 2 Part 1. I think I got that right. Also coming out on the 24th on PS4, Xbox One, PC, PS3, Xbox 360, and Vita. So probably not as many problems with multiple things on the screen, that one.
Yeah, I should think so. Alrighty. So if your video games and movies aren't quite your thing, maybe you want to pick up some visual entertainment in the form of comic book.
If you want more things on your comic page.
Yeah. Then you...
Dynasty Warriors, the comic series.
Yeah. In Comic Sans.
Right.
No. Stop that. From
his favorite font.
DC, it's Suiciders, number one. The big one. It tore California apart, and Los Angeles was left... was one of its many victims. Unable to support the whole, California has cut L.A. free.
Oh.
With options few, the Los Angelians do what they can, and they turn their survival into an entertainment spectacle!
What? Okay.
Are
you not entertained?
Then, crosstown at Marvel, it's Spider-Gwen, number one.
Nice.
The founding of the Spider-Verse has made waves and repercussions, not the least of which is the clamor for Spider-Gwen. But what will await her now that the dust settles and from the disruption of both time and space? Strange and shadowy figures exist just out of view.
What? So how's that work? They start the series just in time for the universe to be destroyed? Am I reading that right?
No, the Spider-Verse just started.
Well, I know, but it's still Marvel, and Marvel's doing the entire Secret Wars thing, right?
Well, that's still a little ways off.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's their big summer thing, so that will...
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's like pan-dimensional anyway, so.
I forgot about the pan-dimensional. those pandas always squeezing themselves in there. Meanwhile, in IDW,
Orphan Black number one, based on the TV series, this brings to new light the story of Sarah, who one day witnesses her own suicide. Well, the suicide of one of her clones. But that does where does that leave her? Who is the originator? And what is the organization that seems to be hunting her? And from Image, it's Odyssey, that's ODY hyphen C, number three. The voyage continues, and there's a new foe, the Cyclops.
Huh.
Whoa. Written by Matt Fraction, so probably pretty good. Just going to say that.
Okay.
Well, did you know that KSU is always looking for new public service announcements to share with the public? Nonprofits and government agencies can submit new announcements to KSU by emailing traffic@ksu.org. That's traffic@ksu.org. All right, I will round us out, finish us off with the new releases with some music. We've got a new album from Songho Blues titled Music in Exile. It's the debut full-length release for the Malayan band. Was co-produced by Yaya Yaz, Nick Zinner, and Mark Antoni Moreau. We've got a new album from The Spectres called Dying. It's a debut full-length release for the British rock quartet. Was produced by Dominic Mitchison. We've got a new album from Ghostface Killah called Sour Soul. It's a debut release from the collaboration between Ghostface Killah and the Toronto jazz / hip-hop band Bad Bad Not Good.
Huh. Features, that's all one phrase.
All one phrase. In all in caps. Features guest appearances from Danny Brown, Doom, all in caps as well.
Nice. Okay.
LZ and Tree. I don't know any of those people.
Doom is good. I like Doom.
Okay. Well, that's good. There's a new album from Dutch Uncles, Shudder. The fourth full-length release for the British indie pop band was produced by Brendan Williams and features guest appearance from Stealing Sheep. There you go. Those were stolen sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
most likely.
Isn't it the year of the sheep?
It's the year of the goat.
Buffalo.
Okay, so my calendar was wrong.
My
calendar says year of the sheep, and then I've heard people say it's year of the goat. So
yeah, I've heard a lot. Yeah.
Is there a fight between like some people like no, it's the sheep, it's the sheep, sheep. No, it's the goat, it's the goat. Like, which ones they like?
I'm gonna
prefer
say
better,
yes.
Or?
There's a lot of headbutting going on. A lot of locking of horns.
There you go.
Interestingly enough, the first hit on Google says "year of goat / sheep."
So
it might be one of those.
The
where
goats
it's like,
are slashing the sheep. Is that
no? Just
is it like a thing where if it's a boy, it's okay. He's the goat, and if it's a girl, like okay, right. Here's the sheep.
I think so.
Does it have anything to do with the cake song about?
No, I don't think it's that kind of goat and sheep situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We try here at Robots Attack. Well, that's going to do it for the new releases. But never fret. We'll be back with more Robots Attack after this music break with the news. And of course, let's tease them some news.
Nearly $9 million has been pooled together to facilitate kitten explosions.
Wait, what?
More news later.
I know I'm intrigued.
How about this? New Alien film.
What?
With a fan favorite director, which to be revealed later.
This is madness. Yeah. Speaking of madness, how can the audience participate in this madness?
If you want to be a part of the madness, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or go to twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one phrase. And that is open right now in the background. We have each of us has a tab open for this, and you can tweet us or light it. Well, maybe he doesn't.
maybe you.
Maybe you. I'm just saying this. There's some pages of stuff. Right. Anyways, you can interact with us there. We will be checking that throughout the show, as well as email if you feel so inclined. robotsattackshow@gmail.com. That is how you interact with us. It's the show is better when you participate.
Yeah, so get off your lazy butts and tweet us or comment or email.
Unless you're driving, in which
case... Unless you're driving, then that's your only excuse. That's your only excuse for not doing it, all right?
Definitely.
Because otherwise, I'm going to think you're lazy out there. So prove me wrong by participating on the show, damn
it. Do you even Twitter, bro?
Seriously. Although, it's probably like Twitter. I'm on like... some other thing.
Hash bait.
Twitter's so old now, man.
Right.
Came out in 2008, whatever.
Yeah. It's old school.
It's older than me.
It's possible. Anyway, all right, let's get to that music, and then we'll be back with more Robot Stack here on KACU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the news. Let's give them some news.
Okay. If you're curious about how I framed the story earlier, I'll lay it out a little bit more simply.
They're blowing up kittens.
In only the most fascinating and fun way possible. Hopefully. So, it was a Kickstarter campaign. Big surprise, we tend to bring those up. Yeah. But the big thing is how massively it overshot its mark as far as what sort of funding they were trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently sitting at, let's see, $87,825% funded.
That's a bit of an overshoot.
With nearly a quarter of a million backers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It set a lot of records. It didn't hit the highest mark, but it did completely outclass a lot of really big things that have happened in Kickstarter, including the Kickstarter for the Ouya, the Veronica Mars Kickstarter, the Rainbow Revival, and the new video game Mighty No. 9. So how did something like this manage to do it? Well, it should be obvious since it's exploding kittens. Who doesn't want that, right? But it apparently it's all framed in how simple and hilarious the gameplay is, because the mechanic comes down almost completely to Russian roulette crossed with Uno.
Is a really bizarre joining of games.
Yeah, I had a hard time with it at first too, but we'll try and link to a video that should walk you through the entire process a little bit easier. But mostly it's just hilarious, completely crazy things like tacos spouting rainbows out of their mouths and stuff like that.
Okay, so it's kind of channeling a little Katamari in itself.
Yeah, a little bit of that wackiness going there. But yeah, the Russian roulette side of things is if you get an exploding kitten, you're knocked out of the game.
Aha.
So.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, speaking of cats,
mm-hmm.
San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
So a bit of a departure from exploding cats, but still involving explosions, at least very likely.
Yes.
There is, at this point, it's pretty well-confirmed rumor, but it's not, as in all things Hollywood, it's never real until it's actually in theaters. But there is a new Alien movie in the works, directed by none other than Mr. Neil Blomkamp, who brought us District 9, Elysium, and is the director of Chappie, which was very popular amongst the group here. So... at least in terms of like expectations, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Um, So, like, as of yet, there isn't a lot to say about it, other than there is some very, very cool concept artwork involved that looks like it has a very impressive industrial complex from, I'm guessing, Weyland-Yutani.
I think it actually has, like, a banner in the background that says Weyland-Yutani, so...
There you go, then.
Yeah. Makes sense.
A rather vicious-looking alien queen. Of course, that's kind of all of them, but we'll set that aside.
A friendly.
It's a new departure.
Depending on your standards and practices.
It looks like it's in a jungle setting, as well as imagery that depicts both Ripley and Hicks from Aliens.
So a little bit of retconning going on there.
Well, depends on how you feel about Alien... Aliens 3 and 4, but yeah.
Loved them.
So, these are all, it's all kind of early stages, but it looks really exciting, and there will be links to both an article and to the imagery that inspired all of this, and hopefully this will actually pan out completely.
In related news...
Oh.
Sigourney Weaver has already been asked about it, and it sounds like she's on board for it, and that this is probably going to happen. But the biggest news to me that she put out was that she confirmed that she had talked to Louis C.K. about it, and he expressed his interest in a small role where he said, and I quote, "I want to be in it. I want to die in a terrible way."
That would be cool. And yeah, actually, now that I come to think of it, I mean, she just worked with him in Chappie, so she's familiar with not Louis C.K., but the director.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Mr. Blomkamp. So
she enjoyed her time with him there. Stand to reason that she'd be down for going back into the alien world with someone that she...
Which she trusts, yeah.
And plus, and it sounds like they're going back to more familiar territory instead of really crazy storylines, so it might... more in a comfort zone for her.
And one thing they are definitely not doing is this is in no way related to Prometheus.
Yes.
It's its own thing following... It seems like they're really going for Aliens territory as opposed to some of the interesting but maybe strange tangents they took in Alien 4 and 3. So
I actually heard completely the opposite of that, but... Since it's still being produced by what's his name from Prometheus, it was his blessing that allowed it to go forward. So apparently, from what I'd heard, at least it is going to be related. It's just not going to be an interlocking like storyline. It's not going to jump off of Prometheus 1. Mm. It's going to be related to that storyline, except it's going to be like. I forget if it was like supposed to be in way future or way past from Prometheus, but
because I guess they still want to do Prometheus 2.
Exactly.
So this isn't Prometheus 2.
Yeah, I guess that's the main thing there. The article was actually trying to say this is not Prometheus 2. So, but yeah,
exciting.
And yeah. It looks the design work looks really slick, and I hope.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask as the two drawers on the show. What are your thoughts on the designs? Sketches and pictures and stuff.
I've probably seen more spectacular looking stuff, but the thing that's encouraging about it is that it does seem to be more grounded imagery than a lot of other stuff has been.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Blomkamp did in other commenting mentioned his appreciation for what Alien Isolation was. And such a direct and honest tribute to the game, to the original Alien film.
That's cool.
So, it sounds like he's gonna kind of strike his own paths, but definitely he's staying true to the lore that is Alien, the realm of Alien.
Cool. Well, my story also involves film, not aliens, but Warner Brothers. Will reportedly begin filming the Wonder Woman movie starring Gal Gadot later this year. According to Deadline, the Fast and Furious actress will finish filming her part in director Greg Motella's Keeping Up with the Joneses before filming Wonder Woman in the fall. Wonder Woman will be directed by Michelle McLaurin from Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, with a script penned by Jason Fuchs. That's Fuchs. Oh. I almost like there's a certain way, like I know it's not pronounced, but if you say it a certain way, it's the bad word, so I'm not going to say it.
We'll just
go with that.
Read the article and you'll know who it is.
Yeah. Not much has been revealed about the movie's plot. However, Wonder Woman producer Charles Roven has confirmed the character is the daughter of Zeus, therefore making her a demigod. So.
Huh, okay.
There you go. It's going to start. They're starting to get those DC movies a-rolling. We'll be mentioning, I'm sure, something else somewhat related to a DC film later on in the show.
Mm.
Looking at the show notes, I noticed someone else.
yeah, possibly.
Well, meanwhile, nothing to do with DC, except maybe an ego the size of DC. Mm. Not like the corporation, not the city. Maybe as big as the city, too. But anyway, Kanye West is venturing into the wild and wonderful world of video games.
This should be good.
Yeah. He's been working on the idea for over 6 months, apparently. And the idea is a game where you play as his mother, going to the highest heights of heaven.
Okay.
So I don't know what sort of navigation process that will involve, but that's basically it.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's Kanye's mom goes to heaven game.
Is he shooting for a particular platform with this, or
I don't know. Admittedly, this is kind of sketchy as far as the amount of information that's out there. This was all from him doing a interview on a breakfast radio show, Power 105.1. Yeah. If it's anything like his adorable, lovely wife, it sounds like it could possibly be a portable, like handheld game, or like cell phone type of game, because that did very well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was willing to make some money the same way that she did.
Yeah. So it made what? Oh, I'm doing this.
Right. If people were willing to hang out with you on a video game, surely they're willing to get my mother to heaven. Because money makes sense. Yeah, and maybe it's going to be the most inventive gameplay ever. I don't know. I
guess that's the biggest thing. Like, with a tagline like that, yeah, a premise like that, it's like, where do you go with that?
Yeah,
that's not possible. Just
yeah, like, I'm not sure what the selling point is other than
it's like the reverse of Dante's Inferno.
So
it's like Kanye's mom's the opposite of Inferno.
Yeah,
there you are then.
Oh yeah. I don't know where to go with this.
Yeah.
It was a weird enough story that that's just it.
Well, you stick with us, Robots Attack, and when we find out more, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Because we will definitely be putting our finger on the pulse of that.
Ant-Man news and Kanye's mom's video game news. We're on top of that.
And possible crossovers thereof.
Yeah. The Marvel comic.
Seriously. Branching off of news that doesn't relate to anything, the future of the internet is just around the corner.
What?
And if you're wondering what the heck that means, it's a little bit technical. But when you go to your browser and you type in www.whatever,
it's already too technical.
whoa, these series of tubes. How are they changing?
I don't know any words that start with multiple W's, sir.
That's because it's not the word. But anyway, if you were to go to your favorite webpage, let's say facebook.com/robotsattackshow,
just for instance.
Okay. I do like that one quite a bit.
Or robotsattack.me, also a good one.
Yes, that is also one
of
my favorites.
If you press Control L or Command L, that will highlight all the text in your URL bar. Press copy that, either right click or whatever, and then paste it into a notepad or something like that into on your computer. You will notice that it begins with these four letters, HTTP, and then just :// and then the rest of your URL.
Correct.
Now, the HTTP stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
Okay.
This has been around since pretty much the invention of the internet.
Okay.
You know, when CERN put up that first page, it was HTTP://
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
So it's slightly less hyper now.
It's...
But it's awful texty?
It is astonishingly still hyper because that is... The hyperness was a reference to its interlinking ability, like where you can take segments of the page and link to them back and forth, like having footnotes or references within a document or multiple documents, which is where the whole, you know...
Exploding kittens come in?
Eventually, yes. you get from there to exploding kittens over the course of about 20 years.
I like that.
So, but this protocol, the way it operates is it sends the data, it tries to send as much data as it can concurrently. That means it tries to do it and it does it in parallel, meaning imagine if you could take go to Safeway or your supermarket of choice and line up carts on each aisle and then push the carts down and pull all the things into your basket that you wanted.
Okay.
Okay.
It's sort of that's the idea of the concurrent concurrent information
into multiple carts at the same time is what you're saying.
But the other ones are sort of like representations that all comes back down to the one cart when you get to the end of the aisle. Okay, maybe that's a bad explanation. But
you're saying if you were able to move with the speed of root beer tapper down the aisles.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. You could
with multiple carts rolling with you.
Effectively, yeah. It's because what it does now
is it's that fast.
It opens up several different pathways and tries to push as much data down to your device through those pathways at the same time.
Okay.
This
it's a steady stream of root beer tapper.
Yeah. The
on all taps.
Hopefully our audience, most of them probably don't know what root beer tapper is.
Look it up.
Archive.org.
You can probably play it if you look it up.
Archive.org has on its game, its arcade archive.
Go to archive.org.
If I'm remembering correctly. Anyways, the point is that this is kind of expensive in terms of the number of connections that your device has to make. And with cellular connections, this can also get expensive in terms of the amount of data that is exchanged just to pick up a single thing like a thumbnail image.
Okay.
So it's several different communications to get one thing, and then you do several communications to get another thing, even though there's a lot of them happening at once, but they're doing it several... you have to talk to, say, several times you want it to get it.
It sounds like we need a better protocol.
We do need a better protocol, which is HTTP/2.
Ooh.
Oh. Which, aptly named.
Mm-hmm. If you are into internet technologies, you may have heard of Google's earlier proprietary work on this called Speedy, SPDY.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was... The idea was to compress information so that you don't have to move as much of it across the internet at once, and to use a single connection to move more data at once.
Okay.
So you spend less time waiting for things, and you use less connections to get it. So you effectively use less bandwidth for each connection you make.
Okay.
Which is good for cell phone users and the obscene pricing of data plans.
So it's like having a main line of connection.
It basically makes they do much more efficient work with a single pipe that used to take several pipes under HTTP.
No, not pipes, tubes.
You're,
so you have one big tube coming at you.
Take your analogy as you will.
Instead of multiple tubes being plugged into you.
Yes.
And, which is just uncomfortable anyway.
Yeah. The article I linked to goes into a little bit more detail if you wish to know more about this, but the good news is your connections will become faster and less expensive, both technologically
that's
and in terms of pricing for data. So there you go.
Okay. So twice the HTTP, half the tubes.
Hey, depending on how it's implemented, it could actually be true.
Okay, I'm looking for a moniker to make this thing popular.
For
I'll,
sure.
I'll keep working on it.
HTTP2, bringing more internet to you. How
about
that?
Okay, that's pretty good. That's okay. A good start. Now, any ETA on when this is?
This should be arriving in your browser within the next few weeks to a month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The spec itself, they've been working on the whole spec for a while, but now it's been finalized, and so now all the browser manufacturers can say, okay, this is what we are building towards. They can now write their code to say, when your computer receives this kind of packet, respond this way, so on and so forth.
Okay. I wonder if that's what Spartan's going to take advantage of or something.
I'm sure Spartan will take advantage of this. I'm actually kind of excited to see what that's going to do, since Microsoft's had quite the internet black eye, despite the fact that they sort of helped make the internet be kind of awesome, while also being kind of lame at the same time. Since 10, since Internet version, Explorer version 9 or 10, it's actually become a really viable browser. And those of you who use it, you can just rest comfortably in the fact that you're actually using something good.
Alrighty, well, if you're just tuning in, here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, Robots Attack. We're in the news, and I've got our next news story. This one involves a Marvel character.
What?
The last story involved a DC character. This one involves a Marvel character.
Okay.
Now, quick round here. Your thoughts on Hugh Jackman as Wolverine? Yay, nay?
Yay.
Have you enjoyed his...
I don't have any major problems with it.
Okay. Well,
I liked him.
Hugh Jackman wants to keep playing Wolverine until he dies.
Woohoo!
Hugh Jackman has said that the recasting of Wolverine is inevitable.
Was that for Wolverine or for Hugh Jackman dying? Or
yeah.
That was a celebration that he likes the character so much he wants to keep playing him, because I like his portrayal of the character.
Okay.
All right. Well, Hugh Jackman has said that the recasting of Wolverine is inevitable. But the actor has decided that he would like to keep playing the Marvel superhero until he dies. The actor told Cigar Aficionado.
Of course.
Oh, I know. Again, Latino review, you're slipping. That he
so close, though. So close. Man. It's right in the ballpark.
Yeah. That he was inspired after watching Michael Keaton in Birdman, saying, quote, I said to my wife, the moral is that I should
said wife.
There's something with that Keaton guy. The moral is that I should never stop playing Wolverine. I've got to find a way to keep playing him until I die. I know that someday they'll recast the role with another actor. I'd be happy if the role was eventually recast. It would mean that it had become iconic. Jackman also went on to discuss what he hopes to bring to the character each time he plays him. He confirmed back in December that he is still moving forward with the next Wolverine movie. Quote, I always want to be in better shape than I was for the last one. Jackman explained, I don't believe in stagnation. People say that they try to maintain the status quo, but I believe the natural cycle means you're either advancing and getting closer to something or you're receding. Every time I play Wolverine, I want to go further, physically and emotionally.
Heavy, so, Doc.
We'll see him again in Apocalypse next year.
Okay.
So there you go.
Coming soon to a screen near you.
Let us know what
Hugh
you
Jackman's
think.
Biceps.
Yeah. Do you want to see Hugh Jackman continue to play Wolverine? I guess it could definitely work if they keep playing up the old man Wolverine, like the comic, the
yeah,
kind of route they
true.
Were going.
I think that'd be kind of interesting to see them like kind of evolve the character that way, so that there is a certain amount of like aging that happens, even though he is effectively the immortal man of Marvel.
Eventually, I want them to give a short guy a chance at it. That's what I want.
Maybe in the recast, they will find someone that has his charisma, but also the stature that many fans demand of the character Wolverine.
our Canadian fans are shouting, and make him Canadian.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey.
You already film all your movies here.
Yeah. And your TV shows.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, honestly, that's one of my few qualms about him, is that he is charismatic. In my view, he shouldn't be charismatic. He should be charismatic in that he's not charismatic.
See, I think he rides that line
fairly
well.
Instead of charismatic because he's pretty.
He's not just pretty.
He's a lot of pretty.
But that's not. But he still carries off the character pretty well, I think, in terms of like.
I'm not arguing with that. I think he does pretty good. But I'd still like to see that personally.
It would be an interesting change.
Not that I hate you, Jackman. I just give a short guy a try. That's all I'm saying. People, give a short Canadian a try.
So what further news do you bring us, or should I just move on to mine?
Anything's better than dead air, so just jump on it.
I have something. The Predator and Spawn have been reported as possible additions to the new Mortal Kombat game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they walk into a bar.
Right.
That bar being Mortal Kombat X, possibly.
Right.
Bonk, ow!
So far, the one that's probably like 90% confirmed is Predator, which comes with an extra little thing that I thought was interesting. And I don't think this is anywhere near the 90% confirmed, but there's also a pretty heavy rumor going out there that along with Predator is going to be another character from Predator, which is going to be Colonel Alan Dillon, Colonel Al Dillon, which is Carl Weathers' character from the original Predator movie.
Oh, my.
Yeah, which I think could be really interesting. They can still get him to do the voice and everything. Uh-huh. I'd be tempted to play as Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
But I'd probably be more tempted to play as Predator.
Predator.
Probably a little bit. I'm just trying to imagine Carl Weathers' fatalities. I'm trying to think of lines like from Predator where he just like spout that off. But anyway,
yeah.
The thing that started up the Spawn thing is that apparently from a recent interview, McFarlane mentioned that he has a multi-year deal with the NetherRealm, the makers of the Mortal Kombat franchise, that for a limited amount of time, they actually have access to his characters. And so, access to the Spawn character.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it just comes down to them giving him a call and saying, yeah, we're going to use him. And that's the end of it. He's going to be in the game. So that sounds like something that probably could happen. It basically comes down to whether
they decide
that Spawn is still a viable character that people want anymore.
They're still putting out Spawn issues, so he still has a fan base.
Yeah, I'm hoping for it.
Yeah,
because it'll be like sort of a weird throwback to Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, if they put him in Soul Calibur, I mean, he'd fit in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he'll fit in just fine. He'd be hanging out with Scorpion, like throwing dirt chains across the wall, and playing darts.
The other news of possible things that are going to end up in the game, one also almost completely confirmed, is that there's going to be a set of feudal Japan costumes for all the characters, which could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for a lot of people, that it probably will have microtransactions. So, buy some special blades for your Predator.
Mm.
Who doesn't want special blades for your Predator? I didn't like the mono blade from the Predators movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Heck
yeah. Yeah,
I'd want that.
That was pretty cool.
I'd want two of them.
One for each arm.
Yeah.
Right. One off my back, too, in case somebody attacks me from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, if you had them on one on each arm, you'd kind of be like Baraka, but that's a different issue.
Yeah. You don't want to be a reskin of him.
Nah.
the cosmetic microtransactions never bothered me because it's just like changes the way your character looks. It doesn't like affect the gameplay or anything. So I'm always like fine with those.
A lot of people just completely freak out. Yeah. So.
They see microtransactions or hear about it, like, oh no, wait!
Like, they might encourage me to buy to something that I want to buy.
Yeah,
already because. So yeah. So for microtransacting, from resurrecting franchises with the power of science, we have resurrecting nickel metal hydride batteries.
Okay. Where I was expecting to go.
The fine folks at BASF that have been bringing good things to science.
BASF, yes.
And materials for a number of years now.
Said that on there. Sorry.
Are working on, have came up with a new process that will create, that will add more power to the, to nickel metal hydride batteries.
Hard drives?
Nickel metal hydride.
Okay. Yeah.
Say it 10
nickel
times
metal
fast.
Hard drive. That'd be an interesting name.
Yeah.
Nickel metal hard drive.
Liquid metal hard drive.
Liquid metal
That's
hard
what I want.
Drive.
Sounds like a band name.
Yeah, there you go.
The lithium
ion. If it's a band name, it sounds almost dirty if you go that direction. So,
like a hair metal band. lithium ion batteries have had their day in the sun for quite a while now due to their...
Ion batteries for those who enjoy adding animal sounds. Rawr.
So these batteries have been popular partly because they're lightweight and they store a lot of energy. They...
Positives?
Mm-hmm. They have about 230 kilowatt hours per kilogram of material in each battery. Okay.
That's a lot, question mark.
It's quite a bit.
Okay.
With this technology, they have made iPads thinner and thinner while still making them last all day long. And other impressive
Nobody
materials
wants a
as
fat
well.
iPad.
I wouldn't mind one as long as it actually went even longer. But the The new technology they're working on will more than double the amount of space, energy space within the nickel metal hydride to 140 kilowatt hours per kilogram.
But how?
They're doing new materials and new structures within the battery itself so that it can retain more energy while not sacrificing its other positives, like having no memories and stuff like that.
Is it using the super material neoprene?
No, I don't believe so. But the main thing is that this might become a boon for electric car manufacturers because the lithium-ion battery is volatile. It has highly flammable materials inside of it, which we have seen on the internet through myriad of videos and the rather famous car fire involving a Tesla.
Well, it's completely overblown because it burns the same way that like a hydrogen fuel cell does, which I mean we've only ever seen in completely horrifying pictures from the Hindenburg.
Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that the nickel hydride batteries are very stable and they're non-flammable once they are ruptured or punctured. So if they can continue to keep the volume of power up while keeping weight without adding a significant amount of weight, it might actually become a viable alternative to giant lithium-ion
batteries
in electric cars. So
okay.
There you go. Possible news, possible spins on once thought forgotten technologies.
Nice.
Okay, in unrelated news, on March 6th and 7th, Tabard Events at Theater on San Pedro Square presents Vocal Legends in Concert! !! Join the legendary impersonators extraordinaire as they bring to life the soulful stylings of Aretha, Billie Holiday, Ray Charles, Luther Vandross, and more. three unique shows, each highlighting three different vocal legends. For showtimes and ticket information, call 408-679-2330 or visit tabardtheater.org. Again, that's 408-679-2330 or tabardtheater.org.
Nice. So, my next story is about a female Lanner Falcon recovering from the world's first Falcon cataract surgery.
Ooh.
Huh.
Eye science.
Mm. The Falcon, named Banner, lives at the New Hampshire School of Falconry in Deering, New Hampshire. She has had cataracts in each eye for nearly 2 years. Her condition had debilitated to the point where she could no longer fly or hunt. Help arrived for the bird on September 29th when a veterinarian team sedated her, removed her troublesome cataracts, and installed special lenses in her corneas.
Huh.
It took a worldwide team of specialists to design the artificial lenses that would be placed in Banner's eyes. Canadian?
Hey. was it a short Canadian?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to find out more.
Shaped the lenses with his unique claws.
Yeah. Canadian ophthalmology equipment manufacturer iMed made the lenses and donated them to the surgical team in New Hampshire. The lenses themselves are only about 6 millimeters wide.
That's quite small.
Well, Banner was under the knife for about 1 hour in the care of veterinary ophthalmologist Ruth Marion, who performed the surgery. The procedure went off without a hitch, reported the Concord Monitor. Marion was one of several people who donated their expertise to help the ailing bird of prey. Banner will now need several weeks of eye drop treatments to keep her eyes free of post-surgical irritation in her corneas. So I can just sort of picture her out, you know, put her out there, just got the eye drops, and you know, it was like, oh, gotta get the eye drops, and the other falcons are like, what are you doing? It's like, I gotta put these eye drops in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, cool. Here, let me, I'll help you. And, you know, it's like, no. Ooh, maybe they'll get a helper monkey.
Ah, there you
okay.
go.
Put the eye drops in.
Yeah, that would be adorable.
That would be a sight to see.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Can you branch from that?
Well, somebody that we have not seen much of in the headlines for a little while.
Okay.
And for a lot of people, that's probably a thankful thing because it was kind of a black eye for the entire gaming industry surrounding this person's name to begin with. Not that it was necessarily her fault. Zoe Quinn, kind of the center of the beginning, the epicenter.
Tipping point of the whole.
Of the Gamergate movement.
Or something very much like it.
Well, yeah. Basically, of all of the cruddy people that named themselves Gamergate, instead of, I'm sure, the thousands of well-meaning people.
Mm.
Anyway, It's kind of an interesting story to me just because it's talking about how she put together a support group for people that are experiencing things similar to herself.
Ah.
She did it with some help. She had a lot of people that came in on this, and it became something very large very quickly, it sounds like. But it does allow them to provide support to help people learn how to deal with the different situations that ended up coming her way, including threatening internet activity from various sources, whether it was because of gender or any number of other things. The interesting part to me is that it's not just support as far as like helping people out, like to feel better and deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like guerrilla warfare support also.
Nice.
So yeah, basically she set up assembled a team of kind of Lizard Squad style people that if they start finding out that somebody who has directly contacted them is being attacked a bunch from a major website, the most popular of which has been 4chan and 8chan,
mm-hmm.
that they actually do like denial of service attacks on the site until it's kind of like useless to kind of shut down things.
Huh.
I'm not sure about the legality of this.
Yeah,
well, it's about as legal as DDoSing in the first place. So.
Exactly. So yeah, it's very interesting to me, and it's really cool that there are ways to actually defend now. But I am a little bit nervous about escalation because of this. But
what? No, that never happens on the
right,
internet.
That never happens on the internet. I know.
Fighting fire with fire.
Right. I mean, luckily, this isn't exactly fire with fire. It's not like they're going out and
and
actually threatening people also. So that is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is interesting. I would have never guessed that somebody would openly admit they've become kind of the center of operations like this. So I'll try to include the entire story for you so you can learn about the entire history if you wish to, along with all of the other people who are lending their name to it. But yeah, it's kind of the little quote that I think seals the entire thing perfectly that's from Quinn is... She was saying that for a massive cultural issue where people sort of think that the internet is magical alternative dimensions where your actions don't matter, when really it's sort of like tech needs to have a Soylent Green moment. And that, it sounds weird at first, but bear with me. The internet is people.
Mm.
So I thought that was kind of genius.
People!
Right. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
That was neat. So
and we'll have to keep an eye on that and see.
Yeah,
if anything happens.
I'm a little bit nervous, but still, it's encouraging in a lot of different ways. So I hope it functions well.
Yeah, it would be nice to see that actually that. Something that we on the show have actually clamored for, which is a recognition of people that are people on the internet behaving like people, would probably curb a lot of the troubles that we deal with on the internet. It won't make them all go away because when you have people interacting with people, you end up with some of these problems anyways, but it might lessen some of the extreme vitriolic responses. Into more tempered vitriolic responses.
I thought it was
interesting with real people.
I thought it was interesting too. Not so long ago, I don't remember the head honcho's name. The guy currently running Twitter in its entirety. I know it's some sort of famous name, but I'm not super into
Jack Dorsey.
Maybe Jack Dorsey possibly could have said something along the lines of that he completely admits that. They have completely sucked at doing all of this stuff and trying to figure out any sort of way to make this a more happy environment to live in. And so he has admitted that he is trying very hard not to suck.
And what is it? Acceptance is the first step?
Right. So, he also admitted that that Twitter has sucked for a very long time, which I thought was interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
particular thing, people.
That is something that they have struggled with in the past. So it's nice to see that some mission coming out of that. So one of the things you might use to combat these sort of things might be robots. Digital robots in this case, but what if you had real robots that were fighting? Then you might be at the Robo Games here in San Francisco Bay Area.
What?
Okay.
And if you are, you will probably also see
one Grant Imahara there as well.
The
as
McDonald's
you.
Guy?
What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll derail you with that later.
The now rather famous intern from the Mythbusters show is going to be hosting the Robo Games, specifically the BattleBot section.
Ah,
cool.
He is once a participant in BattleBots.
Yeah.
Formerly with also, okay. Actually, almost everyone that was on Mythbusters at some point or another had that was in the robotics side
some
dealt
connection
with
of
to the Robo Games and to BattleBots.
Makes sense. They were like right there. So
yeah. So that's going to be happening fairly soon. So, and that will be local if you're here in the San Francisco Bay Area. So potentially check it out. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. They have more than just the BattleBots, although that's a lot of fun. They also have art installation robots and also robotic challenges that different schools and teams do. There's robot sumo, robot soccer.
Nice.
And a bunch of, and like the more classic line following robots, maze robots and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I think my favorite though is that I have yet to actually sit down and watch is the firefighting robots where they put a maze and a candle and the robot has to find its way through the maze and squirt the candle and make it go out.
That does sound enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, when it doesn't sound exciting until you start thinking about what goes into the AI and how you program how you work through the problem to make that work. It's really cool. Anyways,
yeah,
it's fun.
Grant caught a lot of flack from a lot of people. He felt like he was discredited pretty heavily because when he stopped working for Mythbusters, he started up with McDonald's. They started a thing where they put kiosks out in the real world, and they asked people what they wanted to know about McDonald's. Just ask them, ask any question you want. And they had Grant like go to all of the facilities that make McDonald's stuff and had him walk people through their questions.
Huh.
And I didn't think it was completely weird stuff or anything, but the internet went wild over it. They thought that he was a complete and total sellout and that he should probably die of malaria. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's making a living doing something.
Right. You can't work for McDonald's. They're evil. Come on now.
Why?
Next, he'll be working for Walmart.
No.
Food science, man. Food science. It's awesome.
Anyways.
So is that the last story?
That's my last story, Jason.
I'm done.
Okay. Right. So and I'll finish us off with This Week in History.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
All right. So on February 23rd.
It's
today.
Okay.
What?
Okay. That's nice and close.
In 1945, the U.S. flag raised on Iwo Jima.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they made a statue and so on with too many arms, sort of, kind of. Not really, but...
Yeah. Well, details. Anyway, on February 24th in 1836, Alamo defenders call for help. Help! Help! We underestimated this.
Help! Yeah, just a little bit.
And John Wayne answered the call and won us the Alamo!
Yeah. There you go.
I'm not sure that's how it went. I guess
that's
depending.
That's how it happened in the movie.
I saw that movie. That's exactly how it went. Why would the movies lie?
I saw a couple movies, and I don't think either of them went that way.
Now, on February 25th in 1964, Clay knocks out Liston.
Ooh. Okay, okay.
There you go. Some boxing. And February 26th, 1919, two national parks preserved. 10 years apart.
Ooh.
Okay. Ones?
What?
Do you know which ones it was?
I will find out after I finish.
Ah, okay.
Because that will require me to click on the link.
Fair enough.
Unless you want a vamp.
Nah, go for it. We'll come back to it.
On February 27th in 1827, New Orleanians take to the streets for Mardi Gras.
Ooh.
Okay.
Man, 1827.
Okay.
And all then in February 28th, 1953, Watson and Crick discover chemical structure of DNA.
Whoa.
That's fairly important.
Yeah.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah.
kind of just changed the face of medicine. Yeah, know it.
Just a tad. And on March 1st,
they also discovered?
No.
Oh, okay.
In 1932.
Okay.
I can't believe it's almost March already.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously.
Lindenberg baby kidnapped.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That's quite the week ahead of us in terms of history. Dang.
I'll look up those parks while you vamp.
Certainly. Well, let me tell you about something that you probably want to know about.
What is it?
If you want to listen to KSU, even when you are not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. And then you will never be without the underground sound.
That's great.
Pro tip.
Do when you search for
just
us,
tip.
Go to do a search for KSCU. Those are unique identifiers to us on the globe. 103.3 FM is not so unique across the globe.
But perfect if you're in a car.
Mm-hmm. In the local area. Anyways, yeah.
There you go.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU.
All right. So they were the Grand Canyon.
Ah.
And the Grand Tetons.
Grand Tetons. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. There you go. Two very
1929.
Okay. Cool.
It's a little canyon. I don't know. Just seems like kind of grandiose. To call it grand. But hey, you know.
Big hole in the ground. I don't understand what's so big about it.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, you just stand on the edge of it and it reframes your entire life.
Something like that.
It's not that grand.
Yeah. It's pretty small. It's pretty tiny.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so that's going to do it for the news.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take another music break and then come back with some geek talk here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. More Robots Attack right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in Geek Talk.
Yeah.
So, something happened yesterday on the television.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
You know, kind of big for...
Was it bad?
Well, I guess it depends on...
Your point of view?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That being the Oscars, which, you know, I caught a little bit of here and there, was listening to a little bit of it while I watched someone streaming a game. So, before I get into, I'll just do kind of a quick rundown of who won and stuff like that.
Right.
I caught the beginning. They opened up with a musical number with Neil Patrick Harris and
I missed that. I didn't still need to see that.
Yeah, not being a huge musical guy myself, like it was fine. But the best part was Jack Black because Neil Patrick Harris and Anna Kendrick, sang and they sang about like, oh, it's the Oscars, and you know, like, oh, the movies, like, it's the greatest thing, blah, 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 blah. And then Jack Black cuts in like, no, it's not. This is what it's really about. Like, you got to make money. You got to do this. Like, and it was really good. And, you know, I think Jack Black can sing really well. So, like, that was really cool. Like, I liked that juxtaposition of, you know, like, oh, this is the movies. Yay, we're celebrating everything. It's like, that's not what it's about. It's really about making the numbers, doing this, blah, 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 blah. And, so I enjoyed that. Let's see.
I'm getting to be like a really big fan of Anna Kendrick out of the blue. I don't know why. A lot of the interviews I've seen, she's hilarious.
Yeah. And yeah, she just seems like nothing, you know, kind of down to earth.
She's way cooler than any of the characters I've ever seen her play.
Yeah.
The actor is cooler than the character. Well, that's new.
Best I can tell. That's why it's thrown me off.
Yeah.
So it's nice seeing her do stuff like this.
And then, you know, throughout the show, they have people sing or do, you know, the songs that are up for best, you know, best song, like that. So when they did Everything is Awesome, it was awesome. They had Tegan and Sarah. They had, like, I don't know.
Yeah, if you guys I saw got, that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love
it. It was awesome.
Yeah. I love the Batman little party.
Yeah.
So dark.
Who was Batman? Dark,
I don't know. But
oh, man.
But it was good. And then I caught a little bit of it, like, while I was listening. They did a pretty good, if you were familiar with last year and the sort of debacle of John Travolta. Yeah, you have John Travolta, Adele Dazeem. And that's not her name. And so there was this whole thing, like Travolta lies your name. Like, this is what it would be like, if, you know. If
that showed up like 15 minutes after he did that. Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
So this year they had John Travolta and Idina Menzel together presenting something. And so, and they played up that whole thing. Like, they had her, like, had him actually, like, say her name right. And, like, he kind of joked with it, you know. She's like, yeah, you got it. And it's like, you know, that was following, you know, with me for a really long time. He's like, yeah, no kidding. Like, you know, like, yeah, kind of played up, like, yeah, I know how that feels. But, yeah, it was cool. Like, they had fun with the debacle of that. Mm-hmm. And then from what I heard, is Lady Gaga did a really good job of The Sound of Music. They did a thing.
Yeah, a lot of people were raving about that. People that I wouldn't expect to.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, I didn't catch the whole thing. I just caught, like, little bits and pieces. And so the little parts that I did catch that I liked, I mentioned there. But so just kind of a quick rundown, if, in case you missed it. Birdman won Best Picture. The director of Birdman won Best Director. Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. Eddie Redmayne won for Best Actor for The Theory of Everything. Best Actress was Julianne Moore from Still Alice. And mentioning earlier, J.K. Simmons won for Best Supporting Actor in Whiplash. Best Supporting Actress went to Patricia Arquette from Boyhood. And then I will mention the original screenplay, Birdman. Won that one. Achievement in sound editing, American Sniper. Sound mixing, Whiplash. Sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Movie about, like, jazz and stuff. Probably should have good. Interstellar won for visual effects.
Ah. No great surprise there.
No. mentioned also earlier that best animated movie was Big Hero 6. Which sounded like you guys.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Happy with that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Film editing went to Whiplash, Tom Cross. The best original song went to Glory by John Stevens and Lonnie Lynn, so it wasn't Everything Was Awesome. And the best adapted screenplay went to The Imitation Game, Graham Moore. So if you want to see the rest of the list, I'll post the thing on our Facebook page, on Robots Attack. We'll tweet it out and you can see it, but, you know. There's just kind of a quick rundown just in case. I wasn't really going to mention it, but I figured since it was on last night, our show the next day, it's still relatively new, quote unquote. But
yeah,
it's weird with that show. Like, I used to, like, watch it religiously. And then when, like, I did sort of stuff with movies and, like, none of that sort of panned out, like, watching it now is not the most fun because it sort of makes me feel worthless.
That's no good.
You know, it's like, hey, I had sort of these dreams, and then I'd seeing all this stuff. Like, they brought out, like, here's these six young new who participated in this Oscar contest thing about this, and I was like, oh wow, look at that.
You can all just stop this
all
right
these
now.
People getting their dreams. Yeah, I'm going to go do something else. I already feel bad enough. But that's just me.
Yeah. It can be tough.
Well, don't give up your dreams. That's all I'm going to say about that. Not 100% of them.
Too late. No.
Dreams deleted. No, kidding. But
fill the dead air.
As far as the my little section of my geeking out, I was kind of caught off guard by something. I ended up grabbing Netflix. I wasn't caught off guard by that. I did that purposely.
Surprise, Netflix.
Right.
Oh, hey,
I
wow.
gotcha. No, I. So, yeah, I got one of the, like, get a month free thing again because mm-hmm. I haven't had it for, like, years. And so I've been basking in the glory that is Netflix since I've been away from it for so long, because it does have a lot of exclusives that I haven't had access to. And one mm-hmm. that I did not expect at all was something called Whack Fu, the animated series.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, at... Number one, it's really weird name. Mm-hmm. I'll admit that. And that was
W-A-K-F-U,
like,
correct?
Yes. Don't say it like that. Don't spell it. but yes, you're correct if you don't say it as an assaulting term. but yeah, number one, I've always known that France has a thriving industry of really popular and strongly made comics and animation and that sort of art.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it rarely ends up coming over to the United States in any sort of meaningful way. And so sure. seeing an outright kids television series that was made in France, it was just interesting to me to begin with. And so once I read the little thing about what it was and where it was from, I thought I'd give it a shot,
mm-hmm.
even though it has an odd name and whatnot. And it was definitely made for people a lot younger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
But heck, I've watched plenty of stuff like that anyway. I'll admit I'm like a fan of Naruto and whatnot. So
you had to say it like that, didn't you?
Yeah, I just see the look on your face.
Naruto!
Anyway... So I gave this a chance, and I'm glad I did, because for the animation by itself, it was kind of mind-blowing for me, just because the entire show is animated in Adobe Flash. And yeah, you can't tell, like, at all. So much so that... It looks like they give Disney a run for their money, like, in a lot of shots.
Wow.
There's little spots where you can tell, like, something was difficult to animate because it is all manipulating splines and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
But it's rare, and it's really well done, and I'd be really interested to know the entire process of how they put together the show, because a lot of it is just they figure out... sort of where they're going to set their camera in order to make a good mood for a scene.
Okay.
And they'll have the camera jump around just like a normal television show would. And it allows them to pull off a much more cinematic look for a kid's show.
Yeah, okay.
And at the same time, it probably saves them a ton on animation just because they already have the characters like sitting there ready to go for all of these different shots. And then they can just plaster them into whatever. So it sounds like, more I thought about it, it seemed like genius. It's just the setup of getting it all running would be insane.
Mm.
And I think that's probably why it doesn't happen over here all that often.
Although, interesting enough, a lot of the animated shows, the 2D ones that were made here, were actually done in Flash also.
Well, I think I'd heard that eventually they ended up moving... South Park over to that. I don't know if it lasted terribly long.
South Park's all done in 3D, like Simpsons and Futurama are.
Okay. I'd heard that the more recent episodes had actually gone back to paper or something. So
I haven't seen a new one in a while, so I don't know.
But just in general, I thought the character design was really spot on because it has a really like halfway in between either an anime or... I forget the term for it, but like a Korean anime style.
Okay.
Korean-me?
Maybe. I don't know how insulting that is, so I don't know. But yeah, just sort of the flavor of especially video games that come from those two cultures.
Mm.
And part of the reason for that is that it's actually a French video game that was adapted. It's
oh, okay.
an MMO that they made a cartoon series out of.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that at all either. And the more I read about it, the more interesting the entire thing sounded to me, just because it's apparently literally the same studio that created the game.
Oh, okay.
The people that actually do the cutscenes for the game ended up just putting together the show. And
it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when Blizzard like kind of like does more like cinematic things and some of their stuff. It's like they're just kind of like, we already have a great animation team. Might as well let them like have some fun every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because there's a lot of things that I wouldn't have expected, because you can tell it's sort of, well, I'd attribute it to a French influence. I don't know if it is really or not, but like having an older character actually being a very valuable part of an action-oriented team, he's actually kind of the heavy hitter of the group, which is sort of cool, and they have a lot of neat little tweaks on their personalities. The thing that caught me off guard, just because everything that I've sort of been taught about what France is in, like from a perspective of California, has been that, oh, it's this enlightened place where everybody has perfectly shaped views of the world and so on. And I was really surprised that the female portrayals are really solid in spots, but they're actually kind of sexist. And especially in like a kid show, I'm not used to it, because it seems like kid shows are really sanitary anymore. Like they do not want to make it seem like any female character is disempowered or anything like that. But they do it over and over and over again in this.
Wow.
but yeah, it's a fairly big shortcoming, but at the same time, it's not full and complete. It's weird, like the bravest character out of all of the characters is one of the female characters. But when it comes down to the actual fighting, she ends up kind of getting stuffed off to the side, which is kind of sad. But it does have kind of neat things. The main character is a little kid that basically has the portal gun ability.
Oh, okay.
He can create, depending on how you look at it, the blink ability also. So yeah, it's kind of cool seeing like a little ragamuffin doing like crazy jump around tactics with that ability, and seeing this old man being basically the big bouncer out of the crew. The two girls, there's an elven archer. Big surprise there, right?
What?
I know. Yeah. Which she's actually probably my favorite character, just because her setup with the other female character is that she's sort of the lady in waiting for this other princess character, which is kind of cliche princess in a lot of ways, other than that it's framed as, I don't know, more of an islander type princess.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that they ended up shaping that is that she's more of the mage out of, or druid out of them.
Okay.
And so she can control plants, and she has like a weird little doll that she can have do run around and do her bidding. But she gets annoying because she's always complaining about her hair getting messed up and so on.
Right.
Which ends up being interesting because she wears leaves, but she's like really into being absolutely pretty. So yeah, it's sort of funny.
Tangent, manhwa is the Korean.
Oh, the Korean. Okay, but yeah, it especially seems to draw from the Korean MMORPG blah 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 types of games, because it's the character design seems to be sort of a more kid-based version of a lot of that. A little bit heavier on the size of the hands and the feet,
right,
and weighted out towards the limbs that way, but it's still like really pretty, and they managed to throw in lots of nice little details like the way characters blush and stuff like that. is all perfectly animated. It really caught me off guard.
I have to check that one out.
Cool. Speaking of things you should check out.
Yes.
What's that?
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you have limited time to volunteer, join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. Look for them on Facebook. So, Caleb, wrap us up.
All right. So, as you know, Zack Snyder is putting together the Justice League film.
What?
Yes. It's a kind of a surprise ending. No. J.J. Abrams has been sort of trickling out information about how this film is progressing, what's going on. Like, the Super Bowl was when they released pictures of Wonder Woman and stuff like that.
Right.
The most recent sort of sneak peek has been Aquaman.
And what?
Does he look cool?
He actually looks pretty cool.
Okay.
He.
How blonde is he?
Well, the picture's sort of sepia tone, so...
On a scale of 1 to 10?
He's being played by Jason Momoa, so...
Not very.
Not exceedingly.
Okay. I'm pretending like I don't know this stuff. Yeah, I'm actually a pretty big fan of Jason Momoa. I did not expect to be. He's a big part of the Stargate Atlantis series, which was one of those series that I'm still not sure I like in a lot of ways, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Fair
and
enough.
He was a big chunk of the fun of it. So, and he's a big, intimidating-looking guy. So,
mm-hmm. He was a pretty mean-looking Conan, although the movie itself was.
Awesome.
What it was. But anyway,
oh,
the
underappreciated movie. Out of its time.
Not saying it's bad.
Not ahead of its time. Out of its time.
Out of its time. It was fun.
Not saying it was bad. Just, you know.
If you didn't like it,
it was bad in a lot of ways, but I enjoyed it.
It was all right. AKA,
you didn't really care for it.
No, I liked it a lot.
Not you, Caleb. We know you liked it.
No. It's all about me.
Anyway, the picture looks pretty cool. They looks like they've gone with very much Polynesian Islander looking theme form, kind of very...
Which he is, so I'm mm-hmm. Probably more comfortable in that row.
Yeah, and the...
Instead of a horse lord, for instance.
Yeah. He has a pretty neat set of tattoos, and his trident looks pretty wicked. So it'll be interesting to see what else they do with the character besides change his look to be a little bit more assertive as a character in the film. Because
how much mascara is he wearing?
Again, with how much they have affected the lighting in the shot, it's hard to tell. But
don't forget. The picture has words too.
Oh yes, there's a phrase, "Unite the Seven." So there you go.
What do you think that seven refers to?
The rings.
It's the Legend of the Five Rings. So there's not
quite.
Oh,
okay. That's probably not it then.
But seriously, do you think it refers to just the Justice League itself, or something that actually has to do with just Aquaman?
My suspicion is it's the Justice League, because the core members, if I remember correctly, there are seven of the core members. So, but yeah,
my thinking was that since it's is it for Justice League, or is it for the Aquaman movie?
That's the part that
they haven't said.
They haven't
yet.
Said.
Oh, okay.
They've just shown off. Here's Aquaman.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Across the picture is plastered.
If it turns out to be for the Aquaman movie, I'm guessing it's the Seven Seas. But
see, there you
that's
go.
I could
there
be off
go.
On that.
That's pretty good.
The plot thickens.
Oh, right.
We'll have to find out later. Let us know what you think it is. Does it refer to the Seven Seas or the Justice League or maybe both in some weird way? Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, if you would like to get in contact with us or give us feedback, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Or you can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you just want one place for all things Robots Attack, go to robotsattack.me. That is our own website. We have archive episodes of the show, plus all of the awesome links that I have described before.
That's right. All right, that's going to do it for this week. On behalf of myself, Joe, Caleb, Jason, I want to thank you for tuning in, even though you didn't tweet or comment, you lazy bums.
Hi.
It's not too late. Like Caleb said, because the internet's open 24/7, but you disappointed me. Oh, I'm disappointed. Don't disappoint me next week. All right. We'll be back next week. Have a wonderful week and weekend. Do something nice for somebody, you filthy animals.
Raccoon. Barada. Mixto.